I'm an addict. My name is Glendora. And I'm only clean today because of a loving God's grace and His oh so tender mercy. I want to thank God for the moment because I am grateful. They told me if I stay in the gratitude land, I will never use. So I'm grateful, 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 grateful. Hackna, I love it. I love the, y'all made me feel welcome. Those people right there, I'm sorry, I'm hyped. I am trying to work on talking slow. Whether that will be accomplished, I do not know. My sponsor told me to be myself. So here we go. To the addict that thought last night one more hit would take away the pain. To the addict that's sitting here with clean time, not sure if they want to live or die. To the newcomer who's not sure they're welcome here. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. We love you. I am an addict. I got a lot of static. I love your theme. Oh, let's be spiritually awoken, shall we? I think so. For identification purposes, just in case some of you are taking notes. As of yesterday, I celebrated 35 years and 9 months. My biological sperm donor dad said I wouldn't get a week. He said, I laughed like him, I looked like him, I was going to die like him. I buried my father 7 years ago because of the disease of addiction. So don't tell me that we can't stay on the path. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, we don't use. So, y'all ready? Let's go. Y'all want to talk about spirituality or the lack thereof? I gotta get the, I know you gotta do the shout outs before you get started. Brandon, I love you and I love the beard. You gotta be smoking, man, you're smoking. To my sponsor, Kathy, you up next. Boo, I'm right behind you. I got your back. I got your front. She's my sponsor. We'll go deeper in that. To Nandis, thanks. And to everybody else that loved me for the years, thank y'all. But I gotta get going. Look, I ain't got much time and I got a lot to give y'all. All right. I worked hard for the money. I worked hard for it, honey. I was not a very good prostitute. I say I really did suck, and I mean I really sucked. My spirit had been broken a long time ago when I watched my father sexually abuse my two older sisters. I thought I wasn't pretty enough. I didn't have breasts. I didn't have long hair. They were prettier than me. So that, to me, he was my knight in shining armor. I am broken. Why don't he want to touch me? What's wrong with me? And I grew up in that belief that men love you for what's between your legs. I'm a teacher, mostly preschool, so you kind of listen to the language. So like he would never touch my cuckoo. You know, y'all remember that word cuckoo. Y'all feeling whatever y'all want to say. But for right now, we keeping it G-rated. So like, I wanted to grow up. All my dreams were everybody else is dreaming about, like, you know, getting married, whatever they dreamed of. I was dreaming about, like, being a big girl and having, like, you know, some men and being sexy. I want to be sexy. That's all I wanted. I kept praying for it. God, give me tatas. I want tatas. And God answers prayers. So I got the tatas and I got the men. I lost my virginity to a 30-year-old man. I was 13. My virginity did like this. It went away. They lied to me. They told me that I was going to hear water rushing over rocks and bluebirds singing, and none of that happened. And I lost my virginity, and it started me on a road of self-destruction. I am broken. My belief system is not right. I'm seeing my father have sex with my sisters. I'm broken. Nobody's telling me what he's doing is wrong. I'm broken. I want to be with all the men because that's told me I'm beautiful. The more you laid on top of me, the more that kind of equated my worth. I'm broken. I see things happening on the street and I close my eyes. My mother was the first one. I'm sorry, y'all. I forgot about My mother was the first one to tell me about secrets. You know, she told me, don't you tell anybody what goes on in the house, outside of the house. So I learned how to be secretive. I'm broken. Who do you go to? Who do you talk to? I can't tell you nothing because mom said, don't say it. So I grew up. I grew up fast, y'all. There was no long-term young adulthood. Hell, I was right in the mix. I started using very early. Look, all I needed was a match. Light me up. I never liked me. Who is me? I wasn't skinny, so you knew I, you know, in the school, you were picked on totally. You had two jobs in school. If you was a big girl, you were either a clown or a bully. Jews, one or two. You ain't getting all the options. So, y'all see how silly I am? You figure out what I was. I ain't trying to fight. And I learned about, you know, in my brokenness, I learned that even though I was laughing at myself, when I would go in the bathroom, you wouldn't see me. And I would fold inward and I would feel so hurt because I said it about me. But I hadn't learned the concept of standing up for self and having self-worth. What worth? So I grew up and I used. Anything that took me outside of myself. Look, my perception of reality was effed up. Look, I don't like reality because it says you're overweight, you're obese, you're fat, you're an ugly girl. Nobody wants you. Nobody thinks you're pretty. All these things are you carrying around like a load on your shoulder. And I am broken trying to hold together some immaterial, crazy stuff. No spirituality you see whatsoever. I was raised in a religious background. So at the end, when I'm out there tricking, on Sunday morning, I'm a crier. Just get with it. I'm out there and I'm tricking. And I go to the gas station, man, which was the most grossest man. I'm sorry if you work in that field. I'm sorry. But when it's last night and you ain't got no more money and no more dope, you do what you got to do, man. So I went in there to get with the gas station, man. I figured he had at least $2 or $3. I seen him giving gas out. And he said, you smell. And I had learned through the street life a lack of self-worth, how to get an armored skin. You can say anything you want about me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, yes, they do. And he laughed at me. He said, all you could do for me is give me a job that requires no application. You know what I'm talking about. And he didn't even pay me the right money. So I left out of there, and I'm trying to follow, make you understand my ideal of spirituality, my ideal of a higher power, my ideal of a God. What? I came out of there and it was Sunday morning. Wow, bad time of day for an addict. I ain't got no money, no drugs, no tricks. And it was this church right across the street, and I looked at the church and I remember I might have been smoked out. I mean, broke stove smoke. And I'm like, mom said if I go in that building right there, this God thing will take care of me. Now understand, I had tricked with ministers and I tricked with anything that had money. Let me just say it to y'all. If y'all want to live in that fake, oh, I did a couple of things. No, I'm straight up raw. I slept with you. You had money. We're going to do it. Look, there was times when I was out there, I was so terrible, smelled so bad. Guys would ask me for a refund. I didn't know you refund Cushy. I was trying to find a receipt. Can I give you a rain check? We'll do it again next week. So I go in this church, right? And these ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And it's not to step on your religious beliefs. I'm sharing my story. I went in there and they were so pretty with the hats. You know, and the pretty high heel shoes. And the nails that matched. And they had diamonds and stuff. And I was come from Trick City. And I'm dirty. My body smelled so bad. I had crabs, syphilis, gonorrhea, everything. I was a melting pot of crap. And I remember standing by the church wall all the way in the back where nobody could see me. Because I knew my dirty legs and that dirty dress I had on, no underwear, I wouldn't be accepted. But I my mom said they could save me. And the two ladies on the back row turned around and looked me up. You know that look. Ew. And I've gotten thick skin from the street. You had to, man. Many times I had been raped or like did things that were disgusting. You had to get some armor out there. We're talking about non-spirituality. I can't step into that realm of thinking. I'm of darkness. So when they started talking about me, I get that look. And I backed up even further. There was nowhere else to go. And I saw them call that man over, the usher man. And they said something to him and they looked at me. And I'm like, And so they sent him to me, right? And I'm like, What, man? So he came to me and said, Miss, you have to leave. I'm like, but I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing. He said, you got to go. You're not ready for us right now. I said, but I didn't do nothing. I'm sorry, I didn't do anything. He said, you got to go. And he started pushing me out the door. And instead of causing ruckus, because I still have a crumb of humanity in me, I don't want to start a fight in the church thing, you know. So I left, and I kept using it. Almost died, I left. So I walked into Narcotics Anonymous. Get it together. I walked into Narcotics Anonymous with eight days clean. And I thought you were going to give me a parade on my bed. And I came into the rooms. And the ability to feel human had long since passed. I was 7 Shades of Grey. It wasn't even that movie out 50 Shades of Grey. No. Crack lied to me and told me I was going to get skinny. It lied. Y'all was stealing chicken and selling it on the corner. I was eating that shit. I'm like, I was still a big girl, but I was gray, so that meant I had a little bit more run and sanity. I lived in darkness. Fear and misery were constant companions. I felt so much shame. I wouldn't look nobody in the eye because I smelled so bad. So when I took that bath to come to that first meeting, I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect. I just knew my mom felt better when I got in the water. No crying in baseball. So I went into this meeting, and I'm looking at all y'all hugging. What is? I have nothing inside. I don't care if you live or die. Matter of fact, I would prefer for my own hand. Do you understand? I am an animal. I don't like you. I don't like me. I came in there, and y'all want to hug me on my back. Whoa. Right now, I can't let you touch me. I'm like a pressure cooker. All I need is one good squeeze, and I'm going to pop, and it's going to be all out. Yard out. I'm going to tear all of y'all up. And I went behind the table, and I started pretending I was serving at Starbucks. Hey, welcome. How you doing? You want a cup of coffee? Would you like sugar and cream with that? And the man said, hey, you ain't supposed to be back there. I'm like, sorry, excuse me, get in line. Because what I was doing is I was trying to hide from y'all. I didn't understand what y'all wanted from me. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I'm a newcomer. Look, I took a bath and I scrubbed so much my skin was pink. And my mom made me put underwear on. Why? It felt so foreign. But I did what she said. It was her house. And I stood back there serving coffee. And that man that gave me the meeting list came behind that table. And I'm talking about there was no spirit to be spiritual about. You know, what spirituality means for me is that like I'm happy most of the time. And then I'm kind to people. I was an animal. What? Why are you looking at me? You know, there was nothing left of what was once a Glendora. Look, people kept telling me, like, and I kept hearing y'all talking about that word pray. I pray on you. I don't pray for you. Do you know who I am? I'm in a meeting serving coffee, and I was flattened and gotten her pocketbook. She left it on the chair. Oh, dude put his jacket down. I bet. Oh, look, I would definitely take him to bed for a couple of dollars. My head ain't in the game. I am unspiritual. I'm unworthy. I have self-loathing so deep. And I learned that self-loathing and humility cannot occupy the same space. Humility tells you about I like myself, what I am, what I aspire to be. Self-loathing says how I don't like myself. They can't go together, so I got to make a decision. So I'm standing there staring at y'all. And he came up behind that table with that big lady. I said, oh, it's going to be a threesome now. I'm going to charge her extra. I think I had never slept with a woman, and she was a big, she was like 5 X's. So I said, the more X's she got, the more money she gonna pay me for that. Wah. So he comes up to me and he pushes her towards me. Newcomers, listen up. I ain't got nothing. I don't have money because money had lips. I'm still new. 9 days clean, 8 days clean. Money talked to me, spend me. And I don't have nothing but me. And I took a bath and I think so. Oh, I kept smelling my skin. I smell like a lady girl. And she came up towards me. And she opened her arms. Like, you know, they're coming in for that big NA hug thing. And it was like in slow-mo. She came and I'm like, no. She came and she said, boo. To heart. She hugged me so tight. She put my broken pieces back together, y'all. She hugged me. Let me tell you something, and I learned this from a friend of mine. I was broken. I was so broken. I saw no hope. I saw no future. All I felt was her arms. And then when I learned it again a couple of months ago. You know, I work with preschoolers, and we always get crayons, and they always break them. Kids will tear up some crayons. But listen up, Narcotics Anonymous. Listen up, newcomers. Do you know a broken crayon can still color? You understand? I am broken. I still color. And matter of fact, I color in the lines. You said I'm broken. I'm still doing a damn thing. And that lady hugged me, and she said to me, she said, you never had to feel the way you feel right now. And then she leaned back, and like, she's still holding on to me, and I want her to let me go because I'm feeling uncomfortable because I can't stand the light. I'm still a child of darkness, and she's offering too much light. She's offering things that sound too good, like dreams that I had long since gave up on. She's like saying that I'm going to be accepted for who I am and people won't pick at me. She's saying too much. She said, and I'm going to love you till you learn to love yourself. And what I said to her was this, how can you love me? I am the girl that got raped and wound up getting high with the same guys the next day. How can you love me? I saw my sisters being sexually molested, but my father never said nothing. How can you love me? I used abortion as a form of birth control because I was a punk. How can you love me? I took a 13-year-old runaway to stay with me and trust me, put her on a corner and put her out there and tricked her. How can you love me? She said, if you allow me to. So I'm telling you. I'm telling you, let me in. Let me in. I'm knocking at your door, babies. I am knocking at your door. And let me tell y'all something. Listen, I ain't got no tissue. My nose running. All right, that's okay. It's all spiritual. If y'all get it, it's spiritual. I started following this woman around. Thank you, sweetie. I started following this woman around. We're talking about coming into a light, coming into our own spirituality. And I started following around. I stood up under her underarm so close I could have shaved it for her. I was like this. And like whenever she would read that book, then you know that magic book y'all had, that blue book? It's, they call it a basic book, but it was a magic book because she would read it and she would look happy and I'd be like right there reading with her. And whatever meeting she went to, I made sure I found out. And I got there early enough to make sure I stayed two seats. None of y'all else could sit there because she with me. No. But do you understand? It may sound selfish to you, but I'm fighting for my life. I am fighting. I am fighting for my right to be on this road. They said, you want what we had to offer, and you're willing to make the effort to get it. Then there are certain steps that you must take. I read, and she swept the floor, I swept the floor. Back in 86, they smoked the meetings, and like I was like, look, thank you, mommy. I got up there, and we just moved ashtrays, and we moved chairs. Service. I was a newcomer, didn't even know I was in service, but I followed her, and she guided me on this path. And let me tell y'all something. I grew up in these rooms. I went from gray to whatever color I am. What do you call it? Vanilla wafer? I don't give a fuck. Whatever it is. I started getting them keychains. Be honest with y'all, I stole all of them at first because I thought y'all was being funny. I'm like, why NA giving us keychains? You know we ain't got no keys. You know we ain't got no door. We ain't got no locks. We just getting out of there, having our mouth twisted over here. But I started earning my keychains. Every time I make a meeting and not use, I earn the freedom to carry a keychain. I never knew I was in bondage. I never knew I was locked down in a prison. I created. Because I had no spirituality. I had no belief in a power greater than myself. It was all about me taking care of me, for me, by me. But it's something about when you work with a sponsor. Something about when you get a home group. Something about when you do a 90 and 90. Something about when you read the literature. Something about when you get out of somebody. Something about when you go past the cop house and go to your house and stay in your house. You're like, what the hell? Can't believe this is Glendora. I'm sorry. And you start finding yourself changing as your spirituality grows, as you're being awoken. You're coming from a deep sleep and you slowly have to crack your eyes because the beauty is so blinding. That's coming into the light. That's the spirituality. So I'm waking up. Look, I'm washing my body. You ain't got to tell me I smell. I ain't even going to let it get to that point. I'm putting up drawers and panties on both. I learned. Victoria's Secret ain't no secret no more. Ha ha. I am. This is the process of change. And I tell y'all always, and Brandon just said it last night. Look, I was a newcomer and I came in here with my Mrs. T starter kit. It turned my neck green. It took a predecessor to show me how to put clear polish on it so it would turn it real green. Y'all allowed me to wear my weaves. I had a weave for every day of the week. I was unbelievable. Yes. My path, because the path to the inside, where the spirit lives, is a journey that you got to get a sponsor, some homeboys, some homegirls, a God of your own understanding, just in case y'all missed that. But I got to do this. And so, look, I'm fierce now. Now I got to go fast, and I'm sorry. I apologize. She on my A-step. It's okay. You good? Now I got clean time. I got a whole year, y'all. Ooh. I think it like this, it glows in the dark. So you can't complain when I get you, because you should have seen me coming. I gotta go. And I started an experiment with sex. It was very delicious, like hors d'oeuvres. I got a little bit of this and a lot of that. Matter of fact, I got something to go, a doggy bag of that. Damn, that was good. But I started learning that what I want to say to you is, like, the obvious symptom is the drug. We got so many other symptoms with this disease. Don't get impressed by just the drug story. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know what the name of this program is. It's Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm the one to say it. And y'all know I say it all the time. Cut me, I bleed basic text blue. I'm straight up in the night. That's who I am, and that's who I'll always be until my toes cock up. But I will get obsessed and compulsive with anything that I think might make me feel good. So I'm in here, and I got the sponsor, and I'm walking around the meetings, and I'm sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry. I can't stop. It's like them Lay's potato chips or whatever them crackers. You can't eat one. My bedroom turns into a delicatessen. Number 32, how you want it? Think of that. Number 33, number 34, come on. And they changing my name from Glendora to Horry Dory. I'm like, fuck you. And the pain gets greater when you know better. You can't unknow. I'm an addict. I have to accept that. It is what it is. Don't mean I gotta like it. But as I throw my hands up and I don't mean nothing behind my back, I surrender on the first step. Like, my sponsor's walking with me, y'all. First step, I internalize it. I'm spiritually becoming awake as I understand and accept who and what I am. Meaning, like, I will roll your ass and smoke you. I am an addict. When I stop trying to control, or when I stop trying to be in control, spirituality happens without my intervention. So I'm able to see some light cracking my door. And I'm able to come to believe, hey, and Sally Joe over there and Ricky Tickey over there got a whole year too. If I do what they did, maybe I can get what they got. But I gotta have something to guide me, guard me, protect me, love me, care for me. I gotta have a power greater than myself, a stronger, greater, loving, caring, forgiving for me. That's mine. The second step, say, Glenn, you know something? You've been doing the same thing with that same guy, and that guy don't really like you. Oh, yes, he do. He just pretending. No, he don't. He really don't like you. You being very mean, conscious contact, which I don't want no more. So I started learning to listen to y'all. I started learning to listen to my higher power. And I started understanding that some things ain't meant for me to have that I hold on to. And sometimes let go and let God has been the third step. Like, God, please, can you take my will in my life? Guide me. And, you know, please show me. Show me how to live this thing. Because I want to be loved like everyone in here. I want to be loved. I'm sorry, y'all. I want to be loved. And it's not wrong for us to say that. A lot of us are afraid to raise our hands. Excuse me, I'm lonely, I'm horny, and I really need to be loved. Because we're going to be picked at. We're going to say, people are going to say we're advertising. Oh, hell no. Third step says we made a decision. I give my life to God. I say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still feeling the emptiness, but there's a spiritual light that goes on. I'm coming to believe that what you say is true. And when I try, it does work. Third step says, come on, Glenn, trust me. I'm like, but I can't trust you, God. You may let me down like everybody else who I trust it. I got PPD, paranoid personality disorder, means I don't trust easy. God, can you show me something that will make me believe that you won't let me go? Or like Charlie Brown and Lucy, whenever Charlie Brown run for that football to kick it, Lucy moved the ball. I got to believe. I got to have faith and trust in you that you got me. So let me tell you what I did. I started internalizing what God is in my life as far as spiritually. He is my laughter. He is my ability to tell corny jokes. He is my ability to sit with some addict in the wee hours of the morning just trying to get them to come back or stay. My God works through y'all, through me. How selfish I was for so many years, taking. I'm a part of the group, the takers. I didn't want to hear nothing from the givers. You don't give nothing. But in the third step, I'm like, give. God, please, let me open my hands. Please, let me hold someone else's hands. And I started growing. And I started spiritually growing. And so I learned, by this time I had slept with quite a few of you, as I told you earlier. And on the third step, I'm like, I'm giving my life to God. And I'm not saying he said this for real, but I kind of thought he said this. Really? You give me your life to me. What about that last guy you slept with? Well, not him. No. I got that. What about the other guy? No, not him. And I started learning something, and this is for men and women. I have to say that because y'all look at the boobs and y'all say, well, don't apply to me. Listen up. I started learning something about my behaviors. And it put me under a title, either your option or a priority. And what an option is, for some of you that like options, you might like peanut butter and jelly, or you might like bologna and cheese. That's an option. We ain't talking about that kind of option. What I'm talking about is an unspiritual, unprincipled type of living. You sign an invisible contract, which means you really don't exist. An option is a person that will dress according to what makes you happy. An optional person will not let anybody know that y'all in a effortship because they don't want to lose you because you know it's not yet that you're gonna announce to the world that y'all together, which you really know he ain't or she ain't. An option is a person that will have their legs open all night long like 7-Eleven. Whenever you decide to stop by and drop off a little donation, you ready. I'm ready. I put makeup on, do my wig and everything. Because I'm optional. An optional person doesn't get holidays, birthdays, Hanukkah, Kamasa, anything, or Kwanzaa, whatever. They don't get that because they're optional. An optional person don't mention on a group level, yeah, me and Boo Boo, we going away for the weekend. Boo Boo will snatch your eyes out your head. Because you ain't supposed to say that because it's real girls in the meeting. Because you are an option. An optional person cannot raise their head before the God of their understanding because they're so locked into, if you love me, God will love me. An optional person only exists for the love of you. They try to make a relationship out of nothing. They're the only one in it. I'm tired of being that person. So I started learning. I started learning about being a priority. Let me tell you what a priority is. This is a person that understands that my recovery is my responsibility, not yours. A priority is somebody who knows what they're worth. I can tell you how much my car worth, my house worth, but how much am I worth? Like, I stand up for my worth. I will fight you for my worth. Do not disrespect me. Do not step on my toes. And I said this to my sponsor before. You know, like, a priority don't be like a floor mat or a doormat to lay on the floor. If you don't like laying on the floor and everybody walking over you, get the fuck up. I am a priority. I am a priority. I live this program to the best of my ability. And so it should show in my life there's a balance there that comes to spirituality. I am laughing. I am happy. And I will not allow you to take my joy. I am a priority. So I started living like a priority, acting like a priority. On the fourth step, I realized that there was much more to me than just what you just see, the automatic stuff. I started learning, like, you know, I started learning, like, I'm sorry, y'all. On the fifth step, bro, look, fourth step, I broke myself down. And I looked at the different layers of who I was. Man, it's like an onion, that Shrek said. Many layers to my ass, you know. Damn, I didn't even know I was that deep. Fourth step allowed me to see me coming. How about that? Fourth step peeled back some stuff that I thought I had buried, wasn't going to deal with. I'm not going to face that. But as I faced it with the love of a sponsor that loves me so much, she kept calling. I would talk to her, and it made it easier to not procrastinate to write. Fifth step says, get to the exact nature, share with God, myself, and another human being. God, please. I'm mean as hell. I go from 0 to 100. Do you know I love resentments? I pick them up as infants. They be little babies. Hey, little baby infant, I resent you. And they grow up to high school, and I keep them resentments going through college. And matter of fact, I'll be there at their wedding, and I'm going to tell you, on the day they die, I'm at their funeral. Yeah, that you need to die. Yeah. I don't like you anyway. And ain't nobody hurting but me. The exact natures of my wrongs, yeah, I lie. Real easy for all of us to say, yeah, I lie sometimes. No, we want to know on the fifth step level, why you lie? Why you lie? What was the reason behind that lie? Because in that way you help. And so now this is, all right. So I'm doing some work and I'm talking to God, myself, and another human being. And I started noticing my sponsees. And this is for me. It may not be for you, but it's for me. A lot of my sponsees are coming to me. And they're saying stuff like, and I'm seeing you, excuse me, I don't like cursing a lot because I'm a teacher and I'm really funny, but this won't make any sense if I don't curse. Okay. So I'm working on the fifth step and I'm getting to the exact nature of my wrongs. And I'm looking at my sponsors and they keep coming to me like, you know, so-and-so is talking a lot of shit about me. I'm like, oh, that's so sad. I'm so sad, my child. Here come another one. You know something, so-and-so always starting shit. I'm like, oh, that's so sad. Oh, my. They hear another sponsor say, you know something? I'm a digging her shit. I'm like, oh, that's so sad. Oh, no. So I'm noticing the topic and the theme of the meeting that we in, that we ain't even know we was in, is shit. So I'm like wondering, now this is my philosophy. Y'all don't got to follow, but this is what I think. And everybody guarding to sit in this room, you have assets. They are the good things about you. And there are beautiful flowers, every color of the rainbow, men and women. Every flower represents something, compassion, empathy. Those are flowers that are in your garden, and you nurture those. But if you know anything about a garden, it's always going to be a weed or two. Those are your defects of character, things that you didn't really get to the exact nature of why you did what you did. They're growing there. And they're starting to choke out your assets. You know, every time you try to do good, the bad comes behind. If you don't know how to deal with the bad, it's going to kill your flower. So you pull the weed up out of the ground. Y'all know what happens when you pull a weed up. What happens? It grows back. You got to dig into the soil and find the root of why you're doing what you do. Dig down there and get to the root. Why do you do that? Why are you so sarcastic? Why are you so judgmental? And I'm talking about a garden, and I'm talking to these sponsees. And so they're like, yeah, sponsees, I know we got flowers, we got garden. No. Listen to what I'm saying, and the garden is your life. So I talked to my grandpa, who was a farmer. I said, Papa, what is the most expensive thing a farmer puts money on in order to make his garden grow big and strong? He said, fertilizer. I said, fertilizer? He said, yeah, fertilizer. I said, Papa, what's fertilizer? He said, shit. Yeah. So I'm telling my friends and my sponsees this. The next time somebody brings you some shit, the next time somebody talks some shit, the next time somebody invests you in some shit, the next time somebody walk behind you and grumble and mumble about shit, take that shit, bury it in your ground. If it don't apply, it's still going to grow. Bottom line, shit's going to be shit, but I ain't in the shit. I am growing despite what you think. I take the bad and I'm making it to the good. You say you want to talk about me? Well, come on, baby. Let's do it. Because everything you're saying, I have gotten the willingness to examine and make sure that that is not me. And if it is me, you've given me the power through a God of my understanding to change that. And I grow. I still grow. Watch out. Still I rise. Yeah. So I'm like six-stepping it. My desire, look, I don't like seeing your face when I'm very sarcastic. I'm not a fist fighter, I'm a word fighter. I kill you with quiet. Like, I ain't gonna talk to you, be walking all around me. You all right? Where you going today? How you been? I won't talk. I'm that mean because I know it pisses you off. It's defects. I'm defected up. And I want to change. It is eating my soul. My spirit is starting to stumble. And I don't like Glendora this way. And I'm trying to find a way out of the pain that I've created. And I'm entirely ready. And God sees my entirely readiness. I made a list of my defects. And on the other side, I hit it off with some good spiritual principles to counteract that dude. I'm telling you, that doo-doo, the shit. Look, you need something to counteract that. And I started learning about changing. So I go to God in the 7th. I'm like, God, please, can you humbly remove my shortcomings? I'm coming short of your will. And God will do it for you. He didn't say, this is what hit a hit. He said, get out my way and let me do my work. How many times have we walked in the way of God? He tried to get around us. I got to get out of God's way. I'm humbling myself before you, God. I'm not proud or boastful. God, this is me as it is. Can you help me grow up? Can you help me change from the sarcastic, egocentric, I am the God of goddesses, that kind of craziness? Can you help me? And he says, I've been here all along. I'm just waiting for you to acknowledge. My spirituality is beaming, y'all. I'm on the 8th step. I made a list and I checked it twice and I really found out that I ain't that nice. I cause harm and it's orgasmic to see your face crumble. I got you. But I always believe reciprocity. What you put out comes back. So I'm trying to make changes. I'm making the list and I'm honestly not stopping. Of the fear and the courage I'm praying for. God, let me be honest about what I need to say. Let me talk about this and what I did. And I'm able to move on to a ninth step and I be careful of my mincing process. Let me say something. This is like 8th and 9th. I got to share this. Y'all know me, Brenda, Kathy, y'all know this one. 7 years ago, really more like almost 8 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I resented my mother for years. Like, how could she be so mean to make me abort my baby? I never was able to have children ever again. I wound up having to have a hysterectomy, so I've never had kids. I've never had the opportunity that some of you have. And my mom didn't get it, you know. She felt she was being a good mom by not having a teenager pregnant, you know. But I felt like you didn't listen to me. So years have gone by, and I've always had that angry issue. Now, understand, she was the same when I robbed an active addiction. But now I got another resentment. I'm pissed. So they called me and they said, mommy's sick. And I got over there and mom is like laying there at the house. And they said she's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. If you don't know what Alzheimer's is, it's like somebody write your whole life story on a bulletin board and somebody comes by and erase most of it. You don't remember nothing about your child. It's just a mess. So my mom, a 300 something pound woman, is acting like a 3-year-old. And I don't understand why. And there are probably a lot of parts in the base text and the literature where it will help you, but ain't nothing like living your own experience. So I'm looking at my mom calling me mommy. And I'm looking at my mom, said, pick me up. I can't pick you up. You my mom. And as time went on, my mom, they say, what? Twice, what is it? Twice? Yes. My mom started getting smaller. She couldn't walk anymore. She started curling up like an embryo sat. Everything, I had to feed her like the mush food, you know, the baby food. And then we got to the point where I had to change her diapers. And I'm for any of you who have never endeavored this or never went through it, it's hard seeing your mom private parts because she's your mom. And so I'm washing her up and I'm dressing her and I'm feeding my mom. And I'm showing up despite the resentment I may have with her. Sometimes in life, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. In order for the spirituality to come through and you to feel whole and wholly free, you gotta let it go. So I'm there and I'm curling her hair and I'm changing her diaper and I'm feeding her and I'm washing her clothes and I'm on point. In a service and involvement ain't just in a meeting, it's being on point with my mom, doing what I needed to do because she needed me. And so like time passed and I was on point and I got the phone call. All right, we can do this. When I got a phone call from my sister, my baby sister, my mom kept going in and out. She has COPD also. And they said, you need to get over to the nursing home where she was because we couldn't keep her home. And I drove real fast, and I remember parking in the parking lot, and I run inside the elevator, and my mom's on the 3rd floor. And I get on the elevator, and I'm like, I saw the cop car outside and the ambulance. I'm thinking somebody got hurt. So like my sister had called me, so everything was cool. I'm thinking. So I get up the elevator. I'm not lying. Where you sitting at, baby girl? The elevator opened up. I said, hey, Ma. She sleeps. Mom is asleep. So I'm looking around. I hear sounds crying. Who's crying? And over here was my sister, Michelle. And over there was her daughter. And I was just banging her head on the glass. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? Why y'all acting like this? And they said, mommy's gone. I'm like, no, you didn't go in the room. She's asleep. She's right there. I said, no, Glenn, mommy's gone. I'm like, no, she's not gone. I went in there, and I touched my mom. And she's gone. I'm like, mom, please. Mom, you can't leave me. Do you understand? I have abandonment issues. You're my last parent. Mom, you got to wake up. I'm powerless. is over this. Mom, I'm trying to shake her, and I'm pulling her body in my lap, and I'm holding her. And I'm like, Mom, I'm trying to show you I'm sorry. I'm not being bad no more. Mom, wake up. I had to accept my mom was gone. You talking about a deep level first step? Try that one. Try waking your dead mother up. And y'all helped me. And then you showed out at the funeral. A lot too many of y'all came. It was kind of crowded. Y'all ate up all our food. Y'all was eating like y'all hadn't ate funeral food in a while. Yeah. And I think maybe I might have been having a slight little mental thing, because you know my sister asked me to say a poem for my mom, was a favorite. And I got, my head kind of went crazy. And I got up to the podium, I forgot where I was at. I said, how you doing? My name is Glendora. And my sponsor's like, no, don't say that. Don't say it. No. I'm like, and I'm so glad to be here for my mother. I was, you know what I was getting ready to say? I'm an addict, you know. And y'all walk with me. I don't know how much more time, but I'm not going to leave y'all here. So I made amends to my mom. I buried my mom the way she deserved to be buried. 10 Steps says, how you living? How you living, really? You know, a lot of us want love. I know I do. I know I do. I haven't had sex in 12 years. Y'all say, why should I tell y'all that? Man, we ain't kids. What y'all? Whoa. That's some dumb stuff. So what? What that is, if you would take the time to really listen to what I'm saying on a spiritual tip, as I'm being spiritually awoken, I am not the prostitute that I used to be. My legs don't spread like 7-Eleven no more. I've got some qualities in my life that only a God can give. They're called spiritual principles. There's much more to me than a cuckoo. You know what I'm saying? I got some brains and a heart. I'm kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know? And I stand for something. That's a part of this program. The spiritual awakening I'm experiencing. To live with dignity. To walk around instead of shame and dirty underwear. I live with dignity. Yeah, it's lonely sometimes. And masturbation is the most selfish act that you can perform. But understand what I'm saying to you on that 10-step realm. Oops, I'm sorry. Is that like, for a newcomer to hear that, if she's just coming in here from working the streets to say, this girl got almost 36 years and they ain't doing it in 12 years, that's amazing. Yes, it is. Because I stand for something. I am not an option. I'm a hell of a priority. So now I'm going to make y'all laugh. I'm silly as hell. So I did do a date a lot of you. I told you that earlier. But I learned there were four phases of a relationship. The first phase is called enchantment. Y'all can't stop and stare at each other in the meeting. Y'all sit right next to each other in the meeting texting. You're enchanted. You dream about the first time y'all gonna have sex. Oh my God. So you get that first kiss, it's like a cracker to an Ethiopian. Damn. You finally decide to have sex after the Saturday night meeting on the hill. He take off his shirt, he got all these little cute freckles. Oh, he's so cute. Look at his little freckles. Oh, he's so cute. He looks at her and she got his little cute little teeny, little small, fine mustache, real soft, like a meow, baby cat. So y'all go at it like tigers and y'all tearing up the house and ripping up the sheets and y'all slide between 3 and 4 months into what they call disillusionment. In this state, you wind up like saying things like when he take his shirt off, what's wrong with your bed? What you got, melanomas? What's up with that? What's all them dots? You been tested? Now your ass. You like the little cute little mustache. Oh, you look so cute. Yeah. Now it's been a while since she had that electrolysis thing done on the ripping off the wax. Now it's Lion King. Rawr. He said, baby, when you gonna get that shaved down? Whack, whack, whack. Ah, love me as I am. And you usually say in this stage, I should have listened to my sponsor. That's music. And then you slide on to the third phase. It's called misery. It's where everybody is wearing matching t-shirts at the convention. You're like, oh, God, God. Because you with old lumpy head, you're like, oh, I always get the worst pick of the bunch. So you're driving home from the meeting, and of course, a couple of the years right next to you in their brand new car. So y'all pull up next to each other, and you don't want to look because you're sitting next to old Chucky Part 4. But you got to look. You got to look. And you look over, and the girl or guy, depending on who you looks over at you, and you're like, God, I'm so sick of that girl. She looks up at you, and she catches your eye. Help, dial 911. Oh, yeah, she's miserable, too. This is so great. Yay! Now, this is where most of us stop, and we go back into meetings and find another party. And I call it the NA Square Dance. Listen up, you might be in this dance. Glenn go with Mike, and Mike go with Sarah, Sarah go with Ivan, Alvin go with Terry, Terry go with Ricky, Ricky go with Johnny go with Donny, Donny go with Thon, Donny go with Sicky, Sicky go with Thon. You don't know who you slept with. You get so confused. Did I sleep with you? No. It's a square dance. We all trade partners. I even got my little cowboy boots. You don't see everybody tattoos and stretch marks. It's so sad. So you tired of yourself. And you move on. I ain't figured where I was at. You got through misery. You started over new back in enchantment. But for those of us who know we are priorities, for those of us who know what we are worth, we're able to move on with a significant other, a lover, a mate, to the final stage, which is called mutual respect. Let me hit you off with that. We told you about what a priority is. Mutual respect is I treat you the way I want to be treated. You having a bad day don't mean I got to have one too. I am your support as long as you need support in. Mutual respect, I let you go to your God, whatever that is you choose to be, and I go to mine. Don't get in the way. Don't block. Mutual respect means I do what I need to do in order to maintain this level of my personal recovery. Mutual respect means I pray and I act like a messenger or a party to the God that I understand. And I ask you not to step over the line because it is the line. And just get your AC. Do not do that. My God don't like it. And mutual respect, I'm able to take time, invest in me, do something for me with you. Like, it's not always a contest between us. We love each other. We're growing to love each other. Have you ever heard that statement, I'm falling in love? Can you really seriously think in your mind, anytime that you've fallen in love, it felt good? No, baby, I'm rising in love. I am rising in love. I want to know what your favorite color is. I want to know, does that towel on the door means you're pooping and I won't come in there? I want to get to know you. Intimacy. Into me, I'm a see. I want to know about you. I tell my sponsor. I tell her everything. If you got a problem with that, you need to move right on ahead. I'm talking about mutual respect. I want to laugh with you. I want rainy Sundays looking at you watching the sports and I'm just chilling. I want to be able to be okay and express to you. I care about you being, instead of being afraid that you're going to reject me and leave me. I want that respect. It's like you want it. Mutual respect. Aim for it. You can have it. Just remember, you got a third step. God's going to take your life. He will give you that which you seek for. That is called spiritual awakening. Understand what part God plays in my life. We're talking about moving on to the 11th step. Oh, I love that step. We saw it through. We saw it through. And I pray so hard. I am not the girl with the stanky underarms and nasty breath. I am not the girl that you wouldn't even invite to a horror movie. I am not her. On 11th step, I'm thanking God. Thank you. A grateful addict will never use. Thank you, God, for letting me be in service to Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you, God, for letting me hug a newcomer. Thank you, God, for letting me read the new literature, the old literature, the sundown literature. Thank you, God, for not letting me divide the fellowship into parts. Newcomer, old-timer, relapser, dinosaur, unosaur, experienced member. Thank you, God, for allowing the fellowship as it is. Thank you, God, for allowing me to show up and be a part of the we, not the me. Thank you, God, for letting me show you who I really am. Can you take who I really am instead of trying to alter and change me? Let me tell you, on the 11th step, they said to me, and they didn't say it to my face. They said, I don't want to hear her speak no more. She talks too fast. And I responded in my negative way, because I am negative. There's two sides to a coin. I said, well, yeah, I talk too fast, but maybe you think too slow. I am not, 11th step, I am not going to alter and change what God has created in me. Yes, I get better. But when I'm doing it for you, I'm not doing it for the power I serve. I am not going to talk slow because it makes you comfortable. I am not going to compete with you on damn Zoom. Who's the best speaker? God is the best speaker. I am not going to sit in these meetings and argue with you over this non-existent virtue and all this crazy shit. I am not. I am Glendora to the second power, which means I've got a second life. God is giving me a new chance. Cancer got me. My mama died. My daddy died. My cat died. My cat, this is my friend. My cat died. And I didn't use 12 steps. I'm an experienced member. You're damn right. Yeah, you called me a circus speaker. I took offense to that. Circus speaker. You know something? My sponsor taught me, you know, a circuit, like when you got your cell phone, you want to plug it in order to charge up the juices so you can have some chance to use it. That's what we do. You come in and you hear me speaking. You hear Brandon, you hear Kathy. We're circus speakers. That's damn right. Because when you come in, you plug it to our spirit. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to be the addict. That no matter what storm comes your way, you're going to be able to deal with it. You're going to be the addict. You're going to have somebody break your damn heart and realize that you're that crayon and you're still as color. You're going to be the addict who knows your worth and understands that you set boundaries and you don't let nobody step over those boundaries. You're that addict. My name is Glendora. I'm 63 years of age. I'm tired as hell. I got to go. I'm out. Deuce.